Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I don't know how I got here this morning. Honestly, it's been one of those weeks where there just have not been enough hours in the days. And to be honest, I don't know how I'm going to get through this morning. We'll see how it goes. This is one of those days where I'm kind of glad that it's not my first or second sermon. But anyway, we're getting into the guts now of what Paul is laying before the Roman church, the purpose for his writing this letter to Christians who are living in Rome. We've introduced you to this idea of cruciformity. And cruciformity, as we learned, I think, last week, is an architectural term that was first used to describe the style of churches, the first churches that were built. And this continued all the way through the Middle Ages and the Renaissance. Even into the Enlightenment, they were built in the shape of a cross. And I think I showed you this PowerPoint to just flesh out what this term actually means. Why did they build their churches this way? Like a cross. It's because the purest revelation of God, who God truly is, his character, his nature, his heart, is Christ. It is Christ crucified. And God didn't reveal himself in this way so that you and I could just believe that and go on with our lives. God revealed himself in this way. Think about it. God on a cross so that we individually could become that. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, Jesus became a human like us so that we could become like him. And then put him, Christ, on display for the world to see. So we are the building. We are the temple. Our lives are to be cruciform, cross-shaped. We are to reflect the cross. Our lives are to ooze the cross, conform to the cross. And that's why Paul says, because this is how we do that, we offer our bodies, we offer our lives as living sacrifices. Now this week, we're going to look at how this is more than just an individualistic thing, but this is something that we do collectively as a family, as a community. And here in Romans 12, our text today and the text next week, Paul spells out with such detail, it's his Sermon on the Mount, what a cruciform community looks like. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, Romans 12. Beginning at verse 3. And by the way, we're removing this in the next couple of weeks, okay? So just so you know that. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many parts, and these parts do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that has been given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. It is to show mercy. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is God's word. You can be seated. So Paul continues this theme of the body. I mean, that's the word that he's using over and over again, the human body. In fact, the word for human body in the original language is the word soma, and that is the same word that Paul also uses in verse 1 when he says, offer your bodies, offer your soma as a living sacrifice. There, Paul is using the word body or soma literally. We literally offer our bodies as sacrifices to God. But now Paul, in this text, is going to take that same word, body or soma in his language, and he's going to use it metaphorically. as a metaphor for the church. And his most basic idea here is that the church is a body. And this metaphor that Paul uses, the church being a human body, I mean, it's powerful at several levels. I'll start with the most obvious, because no part of your body right now can exist apart from it. I mean, think of any part of your body right now. Right now, I'm thinking of my nose because it's really big. My nose can't say to my body, it'd be a lot easier to exist apart from this body. I mean, this goes with almost out saying, if the nose could actually do that, I mean, the nose would just shrivel up and die. So many Christians today not only just criticize the church, slam the church, I'm talking Christians. They also have the audacity to think that they can do their Christian thing apart from the church. And I'll say this. You better believe it's probably a whole lot easier to do this on your own. It's probably a lot less complicated. It's probably much more convenient. But easier oftentimes is also deadlier. Now just think about how the human body works. All its various parts and pieces, how they're all interconnected, how each part is fully dependent on the whole, and how each part exists to serve the whole. So it is with the church. I mean, look around right now. I'm right now looking at all the different parts and pieces of this body. And I'm also in my heart saying how much I'm dependent on you, how much you're dependent on every part and piece in this room, how we need each other. And that goes against everything our culture right now is screaming at us. It tells us from a very young age that we are to be dependent on no one and that you exist for you. See, and this is why Paul then talks about the gifts. In fact, the actual word in the original language for gift is the word charisma, and that Greek word has also made it into our language. But your gift, your charisma is essentially who God made you to be. And every person in this room is fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And they've been endowed with charisma by God. And we all, each of us, bear God's image through our unique personality, our talents, our makeup, our background, our culture. And this is all part of our charisma, our gift that God has endowed upon us. Now, in light of that, think about all the different parts of the human body and all its complexity and the diversity of our body. But yet, our bodies wouldn't function properly. They would be incomplete if just one of the parts was missing. And this is why Paul says we are many parts, and why he also says, and as many parts, all the parts are not the same, because a body couldn't be a body if all the parts and pieces were the same. But as a body, in the diversity of gifts and passions and callings, it's that which, when it comes together, that makes us a whole, healthy, complete body. And this is why Paul says what he says in verse 6 and 7. We have different gifts, different charisma, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And that's what I get to look at right now as I look out on you. I get to look at the 1,001 parts and pieces that form up this one body. And you know what else I'm looking at? I'm looking at the parts and pieces that I could never be. Nor do I have to be it. To the extent that some of you are it. For instance, recently a lady in our church, she was in a huge financial crisis. Much of it was medical bills that were piling up. I know this because I know her well. One day she texted me. She texted me to tell me that someone in Crossroads just dropped $5,000 in her mailbox. It was almost to the exact amount of what she needed to pay off her outstanding medical bills. That's awesome. And again, the left hand doesn't know it, even know that what the right hand is doing with this person who has this gift of generosity. But because this person has such an amazing gift of generosity, it doesn't mean then that I don't give. But I also recognize that some of you are just amazingly gifted in this area. I mean, every day I'm reminded by teammates. Like you just heard from today in Jamie. They show me all the gifts that I don't have. They're amazing. But because they're gifted in something that I'm not, that doesn't mean that I don't have to still do what they are gifted to do. But rather, I should just be inspired and learn how to do what they do so well. I mean, this idea that God has literally fashioned us with unique gifts, passions, calling, and that right now this body needs each of us to exercise what those gifts, passions, callings are for this body to be healthy, whole, and complete. It's not a spectator sport. Now, Paul reminds us that just like there's cancer to the physical body, there's also a cancer to this body. And you know what cancer does? It kills and destroys the cells of the body. The cancer that Paul talks about in this body, which he mentions in verse 3, is essentially pride. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Paul has laid out one of his definitions of pride. In fact, this is why in verse 3, what Paul is calling us to is humility, which is the antithesis to pride. It's the thing that kills pride. And verse 3 really is the precursor to everything else Paul is going to write in Romans 12. Because if you and I have pride, or if we do not possess humility, where we take ourselves so doggone seriously and we're filled with so much self-importance, the very thing that we are doing for God in the name of God totally betrays God and works against God. Because God, his heart, his character is humble. I mean, just look at Christ. As Paul says in Philippians 2, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, he gave that all up. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a slave, being found in human likeness. He became not just human the appearance of a man, but he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on that humiliating cross. So how humble is God, you ask? God on a cross. Think about it. He's that humble. Even this word charisma that we translate gift, the root of that word is charis. Charis is the Greek word for grace, because the gifts that we possess right now, it is all because of God's grace. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. And any part that you and I get to play for Christ and for his kingdom has nothing to do with how good we are right now, how talented we are, because at the end of the day, I'm just going to state the obvious, and you know this is true about yourself, and it's true about everybody in this room. We're really not that good. He's good. And I've seen over the years in ministry, when people start to identify their gift and they start living into their gift, and remember, our gift is so often packaged with our passions and our calling. So as I've seen so many people live into their gift, it could be their passion for marriages or the orphan, as we heard this morning, or trafficking or urban ministry or the unreached peoples of the world or the poor. I see how they start getting frustrated when everybody else around them isn't as passionate about their thing or doing to the level that they're doing what they're doing in their thing. And I'm just going to tell you what they're doing. They're thinking way too highly of themselves or taking themselves way too seriously. That is the sign of pride. We are to live into what God has gifted us to do, realizing that we're not all going to be an ear. We're not all going to be an eye. We're not all going to be a finger. And praise God that there are other people who have different callings, doing different things to make this one complete family. Because these gifts aren't given to us, as Paul says, by the grace of God. They're not given to us for our sake. God gifts us. He anoints us. He fills us. He calls us. He blesses us, not so that we can build ourselves up, but so that we can build this body up. And this is why Paul does make this a lot about belonging. If you look at verse 5, he says each member, each part of the body must belong to the body. Now, this raises a very important question. This is what your staff, for lack of a better word, what we wrestle with all